Kane is in the building.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us on SB Nation Radio as we do top five and bottom five now that week 10 in the NFL is finished. Let's start with the bottom five, shall we? Let's go 28 all the way to 32.
Oh, my number.
Yeah, let's. You want to go? Well, you want to go top instead?
This is the top five music. That's why.
All right, yeah, that's right. That's right. This is the top five music. I write reverse that. Top five, bottom five. Let's start with the top first. Let's go 5-1. Five on my list. The Los Angeles Chargers at 7-2. I read more after the show about Philip Rivers' car. I still am blown away. Man, what money can do for your life. Philip Rivers is having a great year. The Chargers are good. Listen, it wasn't a blowout of the Raiders. They didn't put up huge numbers, but they win those kind of games. They're winning those kind of games. Boy, they're again quiet, but that's the way they're doing it. And I love them. They're 7-2.
It's not a bad choice. For number five for me, I went Steelers.
Steelers.
I haven't had them in my top five at all this year. The beatdown that they put on the Panthers on Thursday night, I had to put them in the top five because I removed a team from the top five. So I was like, you know what? These guys were number six for a long time. They deserve a top five spot.
Not
and
bad.
Here's hoping for a week 13 flex.
That's right. A week 13 flex. Number four on my list are the Pittsburgh Steelers at 6-2-1. I really wish it was 7-2. Thank you for the tie against the Cleveland Browns to start the season. You know, this was a team that was once in my bottom five after they lost to the Ravens, and mostly it was because they were really disappointing. They were undisciplined, and offensively they kind of were stalling, and defensively they didn't play very well. Boy, they turned it around. They've won five in a row. They're putting up a tremendous amount of points, 31 a game. Defensively, they're coming along. I love the win against the Panthers Thursday night. It was a really good team. A little bit of home cooking for me, so I put them at four.
Number four for me, I have the Chargers. Everything about this team and just how quiet they've been has been remarkable. They're the second best team in the AFC for going by records. So it's, I don't know. I just hope that there's no peak too soon. I've seen this happen with the Chargers, but the one thing I have on my side is that the Chargers have always been dominant in December. So we're getting to that point where they're going to start becoming dominant in December. I just hope it doesn't flame out by the time we get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I like them. I really do. I like their looking at their schedule. I like them. I like what they've got on their schedule. And I hope they do, too, because they're just the spot where they play in a stadium where they don't have any fans. And yet they're really good is another interesting aspect of this. I think it's
yeah,
a really...
Yeah, they've had, what, 9 road games this year?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they're doing it, again, without a 70,000, stadium filled with passionate fans screaming, and yet they're still winning games.
They could win. They could probably, how about this? They make it all the way to the Super Bowl. They won't have any fans there.
Yeah, that's true. Well, people in San Diego go, I would hope so, right?
No.
Descend on Atlanta?
They're like scorned lovers at this point.
Like, no, we're not coming. No. We ain't coming.
I don't care about my ex-girlfriend trading up. I don't care.
Yeah, it's going to be like the little sliver of Charger fans at the stadium, just a little tiny.
A few powder blue jerseys scattered throughout sea of whoever they're playing against.
Number three on my list, I put the LA Rams. That was a good game against Seattle. Seattle gave them a pretty good fight, but I still like the Rams. Cooper Kupp, though, being out, that's kind of a big deal. We'll see how much of a big deal that is. This game on Monday night against the Chiefs is going to be great. I hope it's great. But even if it's not, like we were talking about before, even if it's not and one team dominates the other, it's still a good narrative for the NFL to have. It's going to be a lot of talking points based on that game. And I love the Rams, and I love them at three.
Yeah, I have the Rams at three as well. It's just one of those, they had a good game against the Seahawks, but it wasn't their normal brilliance.
Yeah, exactly.
That they've had.
Exactly.
And it was a little lackluster. It almost felt like, get that mindset, like, you know, are the Seahawks actually that good of a team? And, you know, you have to start to question. I mean, this is the second time they played them, and Seahawks have played them well both times.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's right. Again, they played them really well in Seattle and played them good in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I don't know if the rest of the league is just catching up to what the Rams have been dishing out all season. They're still putting up video game numbers as far as offense, but that defense, which we thought was just going to be this juggernaut of a defense, number one defense in the league, seems to have slipped a little.
Yeah,
and I can't figure out what the reasoning behind it is.
Yeah, that's a good observation, because it hasn't been as stellar. I mean, this is a team early in the season. One of the reasons they were number one because they were undefeated, but they had like they had top five offense, top five defense. I mean, it looked like everything was working for them, and it's kind of gone, you know, a little bit of mid season slump, and we'll see where they shape out. Number two on my list, I put the Kansas City Chiefs at 9-1. Look, again, this Rams game is going to be big. Patrick Mahomes, we're still talking about this team. We're still talking about him. What he did at the beginning of the season, you know what? If you're a skeptical guy like me and you get a little cynical about stuff like this where you just go, we'll see, we'll see, we'll see. But you know what? We're 10 weeks into this bad boy, and he's still making touchdowns. They don't play these games, you know, against the Cardinals. They didn't blow them out. It wasn't 45-10. You know, it was a 26-14 game. But he's still winning games like this. He's still producing in games like this. And you know what? I give him all the credit, because at the beginning of the season, I kept wondering how long this train would last, whether it would get derailed at some point and he'd come back down to earth. And he hasn't. He's got 31 touchdowns this season. They're the second best scoring offense in the league, the fourth best passing offense. They run the ball great. They have Tyreek Hill, who's a threat every time he touches the ball. I love the Chiefs. 9-1. They're number two.
I had the Chiefs at number two as well. Listen, we all knew that the Chiefs they couldn't keep up the pace that they were at.
Yeah,
and we
exactly.
All knew that it was going to taper off. We knew that Pat Mahomes at some point was going to come back down to reality and show us, I mean, for a better term for him, I guess a rookie quarterback. I mean, even though he's not technically a rookie, but you just knew that, okay, he's not going to be able to do this all season long. Teams are going to start to figure this offense out, and they have somewhat. I think defenses are starting to slow them down a little bit. You just can't stop them. And that's the whole thing. That's why they're 9-1 right now, is because you can't stop the Chiefs. I am so looking forward to next Monday night.
Oh, me too.
Because here's the thing.
Great.
We have, you and I know, and I, we, all our top five are exactly the same, except, you know, our four and fives have switched. The Rams and Chiefs playing next weekend won't knock either one of those teams out of the top five, unless it's just a massive blowout that, you know, we just did not see coming. One team just, you know, didn't even bother getting on the plane type blowout. I don't see either one of these teams really dropping that far out of our top five. They're going to be there again. That's how good these two teams are.
They did a retro last night on ESPN about the 1990 Giants 49ers Monday night game, where both teams came in with one loss.
Yes.
Late in the season. I think that was around this time, if not maybe closer to Thanksgiving, a little after Thanksgiving. I don't really remember the date. But I'm trying to think about the last Monday night game late in the season that carried this much weight with the records. And I'm sure I'll find one in my memory banks, but not right now do I have one.
Man, not with two teams with just one loss in the season.
9-1 or 10-1 with two teams. Yeah, we've seen good, don't get me wrong, we've seen a lot of good Monday night games, right? A lot of good late season Monday night games. Peyton Manning and Brady, I'm sure, have met one Monday night game or two. I don't know. But you know what I mean? We've seen that kind of, you know, luck and the Patriots or whatever it is. But I don't think we've had 10 weeks into the season, 2 1-loss teams play on Monday night in a long time.
No. No.
So at least
ESPN
somebody
is
wants
ecstatic.
To jog my memory, but this is as good as a Monday night matchup as you're going to get.
I mean, how much hype is ESPN going to have this week? Because they need to hype it up more than they already are, because they don't have anything.
Yes,
coming off a
right.
Niners-Giants game where each team had like one win or two wins. Come on.
Hey, get this one. The Saints are my number one team. They are rolling. They've won 8 in a row, and man, do they look unbeatable. I mean, unbeatable. They put up 35 points in the first half against the Bengals team, and albeit I know the Bengals give up points, that's what they do, but they're the number one scoring offense. Breeze is having a career year at 39 years old, for crying out loud. He's been fantastic. They can run the ball. Their defense is a lot better. And you know what? They didn't need Dez Bryant. Michael Thomas is great. But they got Brandon Marshall, who might fit that role. I think Dez was a better number two than Brandon Marshall. But still, this is apples and oranges. This is not a necessary signing for their success because they've already got success.
Yeah.
They are in the top 10 in running and passing on their offensive side of the ball, and the defense is playing better.
I mean, the most impressive thing to me about that game on Sunday is that Southern Dome teams do not play well in cold weather.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And, it's cold. It's cold out there, America. It's cold here in Houston. I'm sure it's cold there in Nashville. It's definitely cold in Cincinnati. And the Saints went in there and just did not care about temperature at all. They played like they had been in Green Bay their entire life and just had no issues moving the ball around, no issues executing anything. And the scary thing about them, and again, I know it's a banged up Bengals offense. They're missing a lot of their key players. Their defense seems to be getting better and better each week.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And that's where you start to, when we start talking about the separation in the NFL, we're looking at that going, you know what? This team is on the road to the Super Bowl. I saw a stat yesterday that the Chiefs or the Saints are 5-0 on the road. And the last time they were 5-0 on the road, they won the Super Bowl.
Oh, there you go. They have scored over 40 points in 5 of their 9 games this season. And, it's simple, right? In any sport, score more than the other team. That's all you got to do. And, I mean, you're not going to find many teams in the NFL that can stay with the Saints offensively. Now, we get to the playoffs, defense tends to sort of even things out, so we'll see. But you're just not going to find teams in the NFL that are built to score 40-something points per game like the Saints are doing it. And if they're doing that against you, you're not going to beat them. If you're letting them do that, you're not going to keep up. You're not going to win 47-46 against New Orleans if you're not built to do that. And the Saints are built to do that. So they're the number one team in our power ranks. We'll come back. We'll do bottom five. A little shift and maybe a new team in the mix. That's coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so we did the best of the NFL after 10 weeks. Now here's the worst of the NFL in 10 weeks. We do the bottom five. Top five, bottom five, we do it every Tuesday when the week is finally over after Monday Night Football. Number 28, moving all the way up to number 32 on my list, I put the Giants. Despite last night's victory, there's still a team that is flawed, deeply flawed, will still have quarterback issues. But the Giants did win last night, so they're not as deep in the bottom five as they should be. But a nice victory nonetheless, albeit it was against San Francisco. There's still a number of problems. Their offensive line did play better last night, but I still find flaws in the Giants, so I still keep them in the bottom five, but only at 28.
At 28, I took a leap here. And honestly, I just don't know what to make of this team. This team pushed the Giants out of my bottom five. I'm giving the Giants a stay of execution because they won last night.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm drinking the Eli Kool-Aid. I don't know. But at 28 for me, I had the Jaguars.
Oh, they've lost like 6 in a row, 5 in a row or something.
They've just looked terrible the last month and a half. And they've lost against the Colts. I'm not, and the Colts really don't seem like a juggernaut of a team to me. I guess what this is, the Jaguars represent the AFC South for me, just because it's such a bad division.
Supposed to be so good.
And it was supposed, we had it pegged as this is our must-watch division this year. This was going to be the division everyone's talking about. They have 3.5 teams worthy of a playoff pick, and right now it seems like maybe they have a half of one. But the Jaguars, I don't know, Blake Bortles resorted back to Blake Bortles of old. The offense doesn't seem to really know what they're doing. The defense, which is supposed to be the best in the league, is just, letting people run all over them, pass all over them. I'm at a loss with this team right now.
Number 29 on my list, I put the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. They have lost 4 in a row. They're 3-7. They did not have Sam Darnold in their loss to Buffalo, but it shouldn't have mattered. Matt Barkley doesn't just come in and start chucking two touchdowns against you in a 41-10 blowout loss. You don't lose to the Bills, who can't find a way to score in any capacity, to put up 41 against you. That's embarrassing. I don't care if your rookie quarterback, if you can't win, if you need your rookie quarterback to play in order to be competitive against the Bills, and what kind of team do you have? The Jets are really, really bad. And I fear for Sam Darnold. I hope he gets a good quarterback that'll continue his growth. He's got the skill and the size. He can play in this league. He can develop in this league. But whether he becomes the franchise quarterback for the Jets is going to be based on who they get to replace Todd Bowles, because they're replacing Todd Bowles. The Jets are 29.
You are kind.
Yes.
You are kind to put him there. 29. At 29 for me, I have the Cardinals. Listen, I mean, they have 2 wins on the season. They played well against the Chiefs.
Yeah, they did.
They limited Pat Mahomes to putting up video game numbers, you know, creating that offense and putting video game. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt for that.
All right, so you're going to put them at 29.
Putting them at 29.
I put the Arizona Cardinals at 30. I just put him ahead of the Jets, and you're right. I probably should have put him, because they at least showed up. They at least gave the Chiefs kind of a game. They tried really hard. And you know what? David Johnson had nearly 100 yards rushing. Where has this been the whole season, for crying out loud, Arizona? They're still not a very good team, but you know what? Hey, you show up and fight, show up and fight. So they did, but not enough to sort of squeeze out of the bottom, but they're 30th.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, giving them the benefit of the doubt. Like, you guys, you know, this is your participation award for the season.
Yeah,
that's how I feel.
And Johnson had like 180-something yards, total yards, because he also had 85 yards receiving, if I remember.
Man, if only people could have predicted that he could produce those type of numbers at the beginning of the season.
Exactly. He scored their only 2 touchdowns. I didn't know that, because the only reason I know that is because a friend of mine on Twitter went nuts on the David Johnson cashing in finally on fantasy.
Number 30 for me, I have the Niners. Listen, I mean, they made a valiant effort last night, but the valiant effort was really against a really bad team.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, for me, it's like I took the Giants out of the top or out of the bottom five just for this week, because I know they'll be back next week. And keeping the Niners exactly where I had them last week. It's still a bad team. They're not going to get anywhere. They're playing for draft picks at this point. I mean, I don't really know what else to say. I mean, I like Nick Mullins' effort. I like what, you know, the Niners do have the pieces, but you definitely see that they need Garoppolo back next year to really make any sort of noise.
Yeah, that's where I put the Niners at 31. I didn't want to put them there. I toyed between them and Arizona. I gave Arizona more of a sort of a look because of the game against Kansas City than last night's game against the Giants. San Francisco could easily bump their way to 28 just with another win or two. They're not a terrible team, but you know what?
It's a bad luck. Team.
This team is just beat up and in the wrong places, especially a quarterback. I like Nick Mullins. I thought it was cool last week what he did against the Raiders, and he didn't look all that terrible last night either. But they give up way too many points for a team that's built a little bit better defensively than I thought. And you know, they run the ball pretty good, but the reality of it is that they just can't find ways to win. So they're 31 for me.
No, and in a way, you can kind of see Mullins. Mullins is almost like he's auditioning for a starting job somewhere. Yeah, I can see him being a starting quarterback. Maybe to the Jaguars, because Blake Bortles obviously can't do it.
Yeah, he's doing a really good job of giving the Niners a piece to trade. I mean, a nice piece to, you know, pick up something in a trade. Because I'm sure they're happy with C.J. Beathard as a backup to Garoppolo. But Mullins is not going to be he's not taking over the starting job. And if he's going to be a backup, C.J. Beathard seems to be fine in that position. So they got a good piece to trade out here.
Well, 31 for me, that's where I have the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Good, good. I'm glad.
The
I'm glad
whole
you're a
reason
bit more
why you can you cannot get blown out by a quarterback who doesn't even know the playbook.
Yeah, who barely got to the team.
He was putting on they were still printing the name, or you know, sewing the name on the back of his jersey as he was arriving to the stadium to play. I promise you that's what was happening.
I think he was getting his insurance license or something like that just to become a salesman before they called him and said, you want to be a quarterback again in the NFL?
I want to believe that, you know, Matt Barkley was Nick Falco. What was Keanu Reeves? I know the last name was Shane Falco.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I want to believe that he was scraping barnacles off of a boat when they reached out and said, hey, how would you like to play football for a professional football team?
And he was like,
we remember you.
Why not? I'm going to jump in there. Good job,
Jets. I thought for sure the defense was going to be able to limit what the Bills could produce. And the defense wouldn't even, I don't even think they got off a plane or showed up to the stadium. At this point, I don't even care what the game was. I don't remember. They were just terrible from top to bottom.
Number 32, Raiders.
Yep.
At 1-8. I'm sure you have the same team.
Yeah.
They can't score and they give up points. They give up over 30 points a game and they're only scoring 16. And this is a miserable, miserable team that is run by a coach that is driving it into the ground for whatever reason. I get it. If you want to rebuild, rebuild. But man, they're not even competitive. They scored 3 points against the Niners, 6 points against the Chargers. They can't put numbers on the board. And even when they do put some semblance of numbers on the board, they get blown out by either the Colts or the Rams, wherever else they're playing. They're a non-competitive football team. You could be 1-8 and show guts, or you can be 1-8 and show that you really don't want to be doing this on Sundays, and that's what the Raiders are. They look like they don't want to be doing this on Sundays, even though the players are trying hard, and I'm not accusing them of tanking, but they don't look prepared, and I think that's on Gruden.
Last week we were talking about how Vegas came out with numbers that put Alabama against the worst NFL team, and they gave a point spread.
Yep.
At this point with the Raiders, I'd almost say that Alabama would beat them. Just because I don't think the Raiders would care.
I don't think the Raiders want to win that game anyway. They'd be like, if we lose this game, we'll really be tanking. We'll really be showing the world we're ready for the rebuild process.
And I think Gruden would spend his entire time on Saban's sideline saying, tell me more about this player. I'm going to take him. I want to take this guy. That's my guy.
Exactly. That's my guy. Bottom five on SB Nation Radio.